Hi there. Welcome to Beyond Manifesting. I cannot tell you how excited, happy, grateful I am to be teaching you this course right now. I think this course is really a sum of things that have transpired in my own personal life over the last 4 to 5 years. It feels absolutely incredible to be able to share everything that's transpired on the manifesting level with all of you. It's important for me to share the things that I go through as I go through them, when I'm going through them, because I think that's when we teach the best. I think that's when we're the most passionate about something, and I think that's the most opportune time for us to be able to help others who may be in the same position as we are. You will notice that this lesson title is a little bit risky, but I just wanted to get right to the point because that's exactly how I felt when I manifested something that I thought I wanted. My exact thoughts looking back were, oops, I fucked myself. And that's exactly what I did. I was creating something that I thought I wanted so desperately and so badly in my life to the point that that's all I was thinking about. Okay, let me explain. You have to be very careful what you wish for. The universe is listening to every thought, to every feeling, to every emotion, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's sad, whether it's angry, it doesn't matter. You are a ball of energy that is like static electricity. And everything that you feel or that you think is attaching to you. And so when I first began to learn the art of manifesting, and as you're listening to this, you may or may not be someone who's watched The Secret. If you haven't watched it, I fully encourage you to do so. I think it's an amazing movie. I think it's wonderful that someone took the time to put the knowledge in a place where we could really gain insight and understanding and market it in a way that people would watch. However, what I think they missed is that it's not so simple. It's not black or white when it comes to manifesting. In fact, there's a large portion of manifesting that could be in the gray. Let me explain. I was really struggling with my weight. I was in my late 40s, mid 40s, and my weight was sort of fluctuating up and down and up and down and up and down. And for some reason, it always stuck in my mind, and I don't know why, but in grade 9, I weighed 150 pounds. And I remember thinking that I was fat, that I was heavy compared to everyone else in my grade. Listen, I'm 5'9". 150 pounds was actually super thin, but I didn't know that at the time. Anyway, I've gone through my 40s and my life, and I've sort of always fluctuated in this like 180, 190, 200, 210, kind of in that zone. And here I am, 46, 47 years old, weighing 197, 198 pounds, and telling myself I'm fat. I'm so fat. I don't want to be fat. I don't like myself. I don't like what I look at. I don't like seeing myself in the mirror. My self-esteem is just completely garbage, but that I've convinced myself that, yes, this is my problem. If I just lose weight, I'll feel better about me and I'll be able to fit into thin clothes and I'll look better and I'll feel better. And side note, I'm just going to go into filming a TV show, so I don't want to be seen on national TV as being fat. I don't know why. I just was at that point in my life where I was like very fixated on my size. Okay, so what do? I find these pair of jeans and I love them. I mean, I love the look of them. I love the style of them. I loved everything about them. And so I tacked the jeans to my wall beside my bed. Yes, it is a true story. I did this. And I got up every single morning and I looked at those jeans, which, by the way, I think were a size 12. Remember, I'm curvy. I'm 5'9". So a size 12. And I said, every day, I weigh 150 pounds. And I believed it. I in embodied it. I could see myself slipping on those jeans and doing them up and not having a muffin top come over them. And I was 150 pounds. I weigh 150 pounds. I weigh 150 pounds. I weigh 150 pounds. I said it when I ate something. I said it when I drank something. And by the way, I didn't limit what I was eating or drinking. I was still eating and drinking all the same things as what I normally was. I was just saying, I weigh 150 pounds. I weigh 150 pounds. And obviously, at some point, I started to probably eat less or drink less calories, but I don't remember ever there being a point of noticing that I was ever limiting what was going on my food, on my plate. I was just saying, I weigh 150 pounds. I weigh 150 pounds. I weigh 150 pounds. Like 17 times a day. And looking at those jeans and looking at pictures online of women and scrolling through my social medias and seeing myself as those people. I was making vision boards and I was putting my head on the bodies of those athletes. I weigh 150 pounds. And then came the day. I got on the scale. It was about 8 months to a year later. And I looked down and the scale said 150 pounds. And I don't at that on at that day, the reason why I was on the scale and I was weighing myself was because I had not been eating more than small morsels for several months because I was in so much extreme pain and needed to have my gallbladder out. But I couldn't have my gallbladder out when I was going through filming the TV show, so we were trying to put it off until the Christmas holidays. So when I was on set, I was shaky, I was weak, I was sweating at times, I felt dizzy, I was having some vertigo, I was sicker than I had ever been in my life. I was not healthy. And not only did I have to get my gallbladder removed, but then shortly after that, I threw my back out and I had to go for major back surgery. I was almost paralyzed from the waist down. Weighing 150 pounds didn't stop my back from breaking and me being numb in my legs and in my feet and having to no longer be able to walk or dance or move long distances or ride horses. Having my gallbladder out didn't. It wasn't ideal. It wasn't what I wanted in my life. It didn't matter that I could slip those jeans on and I didn't feel good. Couldn't go out, couldn't enjoy them. Didn't look good to myself because I was so sick. The universe gave me what I wish for. Hey, you want to weigh 150 pounds? No problem. We'll do whatever we can to help you get there as quickly as you seem to want to get there. I didn't say I am my healthiest version of me. I didn't say any of those things that I could have said to manifest health and wellness and weight loss and everything combined in my life because I didn't care about that. I only cared about weighing 150 pounds. That's all I wanted. That's all I saw. I myself was responsible for fucking myself and that's something that I have to live with now. You can't reverse a back surgery. The numbness and the nerve pain and everything that went on with my legs, my gait when I walk is not the same. And everything because of the gallbladder being removed and because of my back surgery and all those things led to subsequent events that continue to transpire afterwards with my business, with my family, with my life. I did that to me because all I saw was what I wanted. No one said to me, hey, just so you know, you can manifest yourself into the worst place possible. No one said that. No one told me that. So I made a really important point of continuing on throughout my manifestations of creating balance and being very careful what I would manifest. Because essentially, working a manifestation is the same thing as a witch creating a spell. It's the same thing as a shaman creating a healing. It's the same thing as a medicine woman making a salve. It's all the same thing. What you're doing is you're manipulating the energy of the universe to create and your dreams and your hopes and your desires. But they have to have a core at them. We're going to talk about the rules in a minute, but there has to be rules. There's rules to everything. There's dark magic, there's black magic, there's good, there's light, you have to have those things. But I didn't know that at the time. So the fact that you've started to take this course makes me super happy because I think there's a lot of people out there that are doing just what I did, fucking themselves. In fact, I personally know one, and let me tell you this. My family and I, we have a ranch. It's very involved for my kids, my family. That's what they do. My kids train horses, they raise horses, we breed horses. That's what we do here as a part of the family. And some of the horses were imported from England. And I had a friend at the time who, when I imported a horse, she had found out that I was given the opportunity to purchase a horse that she says that she wanted. Now, I didn't know that she wanted the horse. I had never heard her talk about the horse before. I didn't even myself know about the horse. It was brought to me by the owner. I was sent a picture and said, "Would you like to purchase her?" I had no idea that she would be something that that person would have wanted or looked at by anyone else. I just thought, oh, I'm the first person that is getting the opportunity to purchase this mare. My family and I were very happy. We loved the mare. She was beautiful. There were several other horses that came over with her. When I told my friend about purchasing the horse and the horses, I said, "Hey, I got, this one and this one and this one, and these are the horses that are coming, and the kids are very excited about them coming into our program." She said, "What? That horse? I've always wanted her. I've always wanted her." And she said that the breeder knew that she always wanted her. And I said, "I'm so sorry, I didn't know that. I had no idea." And she was like, "Oh, I can't believe you got her. And I had told the owner that the breeder that I wanted her." And I said, "I'm sorry, I didn't know." I said, "Maybe it'll be possible one day for you to get a baby from her because we use these horses for breeding." And she said, "Yeah." She kind of, moved on to the next thing. Anyway, when the mare arrived from England and my friend came over, the first thing she said as she was coming off the trailer, "Oh, that's my mare. Thank you. There she is. There's my mare. I'm so happy to have her." And I remember thinking at the time that I felt bad for her. I felt bad. I was like, "Oh, it sucks. I'm sorry for you. I didn't know. It's not my fault. But we'd paid for the mare. She was ours. And I just kind of wanted my friend to wish me well with her and to be happy for me because it wasn't my fault and it wasn't her fault." Anyway, every time she would come over, she would look at the mare and she would say, "Oh, thank you so much for taking care of my mare. Ha ha ha. Oh, thank you so much. That's my mare. Thank you. Thank you so much for taking care of my mare." And she would say it every single time. And each time I would get a little bit more irritated and a little bit more irritated. And one time I looked at her and I said, "Please don't do that. That's not nice. Please don't. Please." And keep in mind, since this time, she has gone on now to buy other mares and a significant amount of time has passed. And I said, "Listen, she's not your mare. She's my mare. And I just don't want you to do that." And she knew that I was a little bit irritated. And so she stopped it that day. Anyway, the following year, myself and my family had a lot of financial struggles on the ranch. It was getting to the point where we thought we might not be able to do this anymore. And I was having to make decisions about selling mares that I would, and horses in general, that we would have never put up for sale. And of course, that mare, she was one of them. I knew that I was going to hold on to the best mares that we had. The whole family was having meetings and taking votes about which horses we could sell and how we could navigate our way through this. Horses were sold. It was a very difficult time to wonderful homes, and we're very happy for those people, and we wish them all the luck and love in the world with them. But they were not choices and decisions that we would have wanted to make. It was hard. It was hard pills to swallow. difficult times that we were trying to navigate our way through, making decisions if we should just sell every horse and piece of equipment on the property and call it a day. Whatever it was, we stuck together through it, but there was a lot of loss during that time. And it got to the point where after several horses had been sold, we had to make the decision to sell the mare that my friend wanted. I knew that there were other people that also wanted the mare, but I felt like as a friend, it was the right thing to do to call up the person who had said that she wanted her from the get-go and say, unfortunately, we have to sell this mare. When I called her, she was elated, over the moon. She said, thank you. I always knew she would be mine. There was a part of me that took that a little bit like a dagger to the heart, but I let go. Fast forward now into the following year, and we still have the mare living here because she's had a baby that our farm and ranch owns. So after the baby is weaned, the mare will go to my friend's home. Another person had been to my friend's home and said, hey, did you know that your mare was on her vision board? What? She goes, oh yeah, she's been telling me for a year that that was her mare. In fact, she put the mare on her vision board, front and center. Huh. So my friend, or supposedly my friend, manifested that horse away from me into her pastures. And in order to do that, that means that she had to place my family in the most difficult period in time that we would be in order to sell that mare. Because she knows I never would have sold the horse otherwise. So what that means is a lot of things had to happen that year. We had to be financially in a very difficult and tough position. I had to sell hard horses. I had to sell horses that I would never have wanted to sell to finally get to that mare. And by the way, she was the last mare that was sold. After that, everything began to shift and change. Things started to happen for the better. This weird stuff started to happen here. Unexpected phone calls from people asking if they could partner with the ranch or join the ranch. It's almost like a tide had shifted. Now, at the time, I didn't know until I later found out that a horse that I loved, that was our mare, that was in this family, was manifested away from us. Now, what was happening to that person was some very challenging and difficult things going on in her own business and in her own life. I'm not going to talk about the karma that I think that she has put on herself by doing what she did. But I'm telling you about this because I believe that it is on every level of wrong to want something so badly that you are willing to manifest it away from someone else to get what you want. That's not okay. That is not okay. That is exactly the same as me saying I weigh 150 pounds and not giving a shit about how I got there. She didn't care what happened to me. She didn't care what happened to my family, what we had to go through to finally get to the point where we had to sell that mare. That didn't matter to her. All she cared about is, I want that horse. Nothing else was in the scope or the realm of her thinking. You can't lie to the energy and the law of the universe. There's no lying. You must manifest in a way. Well, we're going to talk about the rules in a minute. But every single manifestation must come from a place of love and kindness. It is not okay for you to drive down the road and say, I want that house. I want to live in that house. I want that house. Can you imagine what if the family that lives in that home wants that house? What could you cause to that family to get them to move out of that house? And then now you got the house, what is the karma that you will have that you will pay for it? What is so important is that you think before you manifest. I learned it firsthand by myself, and I have irreversible damage that I have done to me. But I also learned it by someone else doing it to me, and then watch their karma ensue upon them afterwards. By the way, we are no longer friends. Next lesson, don't tell everyone in your life what you're doing and what you're manifesting and what you're not doing. You see, everybody isn't going to be your cheerleader. Everybody isn't always going to be on your team. Whether you're breeding horses, whether you're an artist, whether you're a cheerleader, in every industry and in every business and in every hobby, there are people that will want to be you and that will want the things that you have. By keeping those things private unto yourself and into your own space, you allow yourself to manifest things with your sole purpose and your energy moving and thrusting through them. I have learned about karma, let me tell you, by watching other people and by getting my own. And let's face it, we know when it's karma. You know when it seems to be like, oh my God, I'm getting hit with this and with this and with this and with this and with this. And it just feels like you're being emotionally, mentally, and physically batted around by the universe to the point where you're like, are you shitting me right now? You can probably look back over your life and go, yep, I had some of this coming. I had some of this coming. And the only person and the only people who are not willing to admit that are the people that want to justify everything. Because at the truest part of ourselves, we know when we are doing something wrong. We know. I don't care who you are. You can be as delusional as you want. You got a little intuitive navigating device system within you that says, hey, I probably shouldn't do that. So let's talk about some rules. The first one is you must think of health and wellness and love and light first and foremost. So when you drive by a house on the road and you say, I want that, you must first think of love and light. So what's the first thing you're going to tell the universe is that I would love to live in a home that has, maybe you drive past the house and it's the front porch. I live in a home that has a beautiful front porch and has blue shutters and has the view of the ocean. Let's say those are the things that you love about that specific house. Maybe the best thing to do from a place of love and light, health and wellness is to manifest what it is that you love about that home and then trust the universe. Maybe it will be that home, but maybe it won't. Maybe it will be a home as equally as amazing and wonderful that the opportunity comes up for you because you trusted the universe and you honored the people that lived in that home. What could my friend have done? She could have put on her vision board manifesting a foal from my mare. She could have put on her vision board that she manifested a red Sabino mare similar to her. She could have put anything else other than plucking in and grabbing something from someone else because karma will come for you. What could I have done differently? I could have said, I naturally conform to the way that I am meant to be. I am healthy and whole and complete on every level, physically, mentally, and emotionally. And if me being healthy meant that I weighed 150 pounds, which of course it didn't because my kids continued to tell me at the time how sick and unhealthy I looked, if it meant that that was healthy for me, sure, but it wasn't, which is why I had to help my gallbladder out. So I needed to trust the universe to bring me health and wellness, not to bring me a number on the scale. You must never, ever, ever, ever take anything away from someone else. Now it's different. If you are looking in a Dodge dealership because you want a brand new truck, those trucks are for sale. You can manifest those. Or if you happen to see a house that's listed on the market and it's for sale, you can manifest those. Or if you happen to see a horse that's for sale, you can manifest that. Absolutely you can. But you cannot manifest something that is not available to you. Because if you do, the universe will make sure that there's some things that are taken from you in return, and it is not worth it in the long run. You must never wish your success over someone else's. If you're trying to manifest yourself the successful, amazing business, you can't lie to the universe. You know, I see this all the time. People think they're sneaky and they really try and do this. They really try and manifest things because they want something and they want to be better than someone else. There's no better than anyone else. There's no better. You have to focus solely and completely on yourself. If you are constantly comparing yourself to the dreams that other people are living, you are just going to get their leftovers. Or you might create demise in their business, but you're going to get the fallout of that. Trust me. If you are walking around chitting and chatting about everybody else and you're talking about them and you're gossiping about them and you're trying to pull or pluck other people away from their business, you will 1,100% pay for that. 100%. It's just how it works. It's just you not focusing on your journey and putting all of your effort into that. You're putting your effort into other people's dreams, into other people's goals. You can't do that. At every stage of your life, you have to think about your dreams, your goals, where you want to go, where you want to be. None of our dreams are the same. None of our dreams are cookie cutter dreams. None of our dreams will even fit our lifestyle. Now, we often say there's other people that look in on our horse ranch and think, oh, that must be so easy, or I want some of that. And then they do and they get it and they don't actually want it because they don't want the work. See, my kids and my family, they love the work. They love the horses. They love the experience and the journey and everything that's a part of that. You don't know. You're looking at a snippet. When you see a model, you might be like, oh my gosh, I want to be that McKinney model. I want that. But you don't know. You don't know what it's like to stand all day and to have other people tell you what to wear and who you are and how much you can weigh. You don't know. The outside looking in is always with rose-colored glasses. You cannot wish your success over someone else. You must wish everyone all the luck and all the love in the world. And you must allow other people to find their joy, to experience their joy, to experience their success. The moment that you become bitter, the moment that you become resentful, the moment that you start worrying about them and what they're doing and the takedown of them, you will fuck yourself. And then you're going to need to know, how do I unfuck myself? Which is exactly where we're going next. I hope you enjoyed this lesson. We're going to move on to lesson 2 next.